song, a book, and a dish. On 702.
16 minutes to 6. We do this every Friday. We interview somebody who you probably already know, but you don't know as much about them as you think. And if we ask them about music and food and books that have inspired them, well, we have a chance to learn a whole lot more. My guest today is Janice Honeyman, Artistic Director for the Joburg Theatre. Janice, welcome and thanks very much for your time. When you were a young girl growing up in Cape Town, did you have any idea that the stage and the theatre would be your life?
Well, absolutely not. I was going to be a vet. I was going to go to Onderstepoort to study.
Okay.
I was going to be saving dogs and cats. And then I failed maths in JC, so I couldn't do anything like that.
So now you're herding cats. I would think that being artistic director and a director of anything in the theatre is a mix of the creative, but also presumably requires huge patience.
No, absolutely. I'm lucky, or no, rather they're lucky that I love actors.
Yes.
So I'd enjoy herding cats, but they are all mad. And they, if they're prepared to come along with my madness, we can make a very good show often. So I think it's just wonderful to be in the theatre.
Tell us about the Joburg Theatre at a moment. Obviously, tough times, even before COVID, much tougher times with the pandemic. You've got a panto coming up, which you'll tell us about. But in general, how's the theatre doing?
John, I can't tell you exactly because just to make a little correction,
okay.
I was artistic director a few years back, but I'm not at the moment.
Okay.
James Ngorbo is.
Okay.
Of course, I taught him everything he knows, but I'm lying. He's busy arranging a lot of very ambitious and wonderful projects for the Joburg Theatre. And Koliswa has been steering the ship for a while.
Right.
And I went to a very interesting show there the other morning, two mornings ago. Really a very, very good show. So it's active. And I think with James in the driving seat, it's going to get even more active and more kind of out there.
So you're going to tell us in a moment about your favorite foods, but on opening night, do you eat anything at all?
Not a sausage or a piece of cheese or a pickled onion for that matter. I'm too nervous to eat on an opening night. And I don't have a drink until after the show, but boy, then I go for it after the show.
Is it true that in fact, often what things go wrong on the second night or the third night, that on opening night, everybody's got absolutely everything locked down and ready because it is opening night, and then it's in the moments that perhaps things do go wrong.
That's true. I don't think people listen. Once you've trained the actors really well, second night is second night, and it's absolutely acceptable and possible. But the actors themselves and everybody after the hype of an opening feels a little bit kind of deflated. But if they've got good techniques as actors, that won't show to an audience. So everybody can come on the second night for the panto as well.
Let's talk a little bit about food then. So growing up, I understand you went to Milnerton Primary. I don't know if that's the part of Cape Town you lived in. One older brother, 2 years older than you. Mealtimes in the Honeyman household, what was it like?
Well, always discussing rugby and cricket and golf. And my mum and I had to listen to a lot of that. And then we might get a sneak, what did you do today? And we say, well, I went to a rehearsal and I said, oh, hey, did you hear about Graham Pollock and what happened to him?
Yes, yes.
And so that was the dinner conversation most of the time.
And the food?
Well, my mother was a fantastic cook. So, you know, she made wonderful dishes. Her tomato breedy was world famous, or should have been. Her veal and ham pie was wonderful. She cooked beautifully, beautifully. So my appetite was always also quite indulgent.
And what kind of cook are you? I mean, firstly, what do you cook and how good are you at it?
I love cooking. I absolutely enjoy it. I use cutting up vegetables as therapy. You know, if you julienne something really small, you've got to focus on it and it takes your mind off everything else,
right,
just like snorkeling or something does. So I enjoy preparing food and I enjoy cooking it. So, yeah, I hate vegetables actually, but I like chopping them up.
For other people to eat. Lamb chops, yeah. your first favorite. How do you make them?
Well, of course, a straight grilled lamb chop, Karoo lamb chop, if possible, under the griller so that the fat goes crispy. Mm.
Yes.
Excellent. But there are other dishes, other chopped dishes that I make. One of them that I really enjoy is Hassan Marg. I can't remember her first name, sorry. But chops done, you brown the onions. You brown the bit of garlic in there.
Right.
Put the chops in and brown those. You add half a bottle of wine and you let it cook there. Salt, pepper, nutmeg. Must remember the nutmeg. And then you just let it simmer for a long time and it comes out juicy and lovely, but the chops have still maintained their shape. It's not soggy. Mm. So that's my one that I like doing.
So let's talk a little bit about books. I mean, I would imagine you've read quite a number in your life, but you've chosen something that would be having its 114th anniversary this year. Anne of Green Gables, 1908, by a Canadian author. I seem to remember that being on the bookshelves in my sister's room, but I don't remember reading it. Tell us why this is so special, because it is a classic, but as I recall it, mostly read by younger people.
Yeah, it's a beautiful book, and my mother gave it to me for one Christmas, and I read it 11 times. I had to wait till the next Christmas for my next book. I just used to get to the end and go to the beginning again, and get to the end and go to the beginning again. And I think it's because it had a real something for young, just approaching teenagehood people to relate to. You know, and was a little bit in love with Gilbert, and that was quite exciting.
Yes.
And she had a horrible bitchy friend called Diana, I think, Diana, and you hated her, but you knew someone like that at school. In fact, you knew probably about five of those people at school, and you had your own little chap that you also fancied. Mine was Ronnie Castle, and I was quite a large lady, a young girl, and he was a tiny little chap, and he had a fairy cycle, and he used to offer me a lift home on the carrier, and the poor boy used to huff and puff.
Yeah.
And Brian Heyman and Elvira Ben Simon used to sail past in their on their big size 38 rally or something, Hercules. And Ronnie was so sweet. He didn't say, "I wish you weren't so fat and heavy." He said, "Oh, I just wish I had a big bike like that instead of a fairy cycle."
He sounds like an absolute gentleman.
He's a sweet, sweet man. I don't know where he is now.
I was going to say, have you stayed in touch? He sounded like a keeper to me.
I should have kept him in contact with him because he was a very, very nice, sweet person.
Books and the work you do now, do you read for pure pleasure, or is there a part of you that's kind of looking and saying, is there an idea here that I might turn into something on the stage? Can you keep those separate?
You know, John, I have done, I think it's 29 adaptations of books for the stage.
Wow.
I think my favorite two of which were, three favorites, Hard Times, Charles Dickens, which was a 3.5-hour adaptation. And at the end of it, Barry Ronger came out and said, "Do you mean that was 3.5 hours? He said, "I thought it was 20 minutes. I wanted it to go on and on," which I was quite pleased
indeed
about.
Indeed.
Other two favorites were Fatma, A.H.M. Scholtz, which is a book about the people of the Northern Cape and the communities up there. And then, of course, Shirley Goodness and Mercy.
Yeah.
Christopher
Van Wyk.
Christopher Van Wyk, Chris Van Wyk. And I did an adaptation of that, and I absolutely love that book. And I've done Eggs to Lay, Chickens to Hatch, which is the sequel, which hasn't been put on yet, but believe me, will be.
Yeah.
So also one of the stories that when I was moving from Hart Bay up to Joburg, I had to clear my study, floor to ceiling books
yes.
all around. And I walked in and said, right, I'm going to get rid of all of these now. I've got to restart my life and, you know, get rid of clutter. And I walked in and the first four books were a project I've been wanting to do for 25 years about C.S. Lewis. And then the next one was another four books on a woman called Ida Kaminska, who was a fantastic Russian theater person who moved over to America in the end. And
right.
she ran a Yiddish theater. So every four books or three books or one book or seven books were, I think I got rid of two books.
That's not nearly enough, but that's what books will do to you. Back with Janice Honeyman in a moment.
A song, a book, and a dish. On 702.
So let's talk about your song with the time we have left, Janice Honeyman. You've chosen Candyman by Sammy Davis Jr. Tell us why.
I love Candyman. I still, at my ripe old age, when I hear the baker's ad on the television, I run to it because the baker man can. And it's always been a favorite of mine. Old Sammy Davis Jr. is just so cool and so laid back and lovely. And it's interestingly enough, the interval number for the pantomime this year.
Uh-huh.
Because I always like a bit of nostalgia and I always like one or two of my favorites to be in. So for Jack and the Beanstalk, for instance, it's not where you start, it's where you finish, because that's one of my favorites. And Candy, in this panto coming up, they land in Candyland.
Aha.
And it's complete ecstasy for them. But so I can use that song with an excuse of, oh, well, they are in Candyland, but it is one of my favorites.
Thank you very much. And thank you so much for sharing with us your song, your book, and your dish. Sammy Davis Jr. with Candyman, the choice of my guest, Janice Honeyman.
The candy man can, 'cause he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good. The candy man can, 'cause he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good.